time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program is Heaven and Paradise. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God's Word. May seem to be a couple of simple questions, but which are really quite important to a lot of people according to the letters which we receive. What is heaven? What and where is paradise? But first may I tell our listeners that this program comes from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups and with the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. So, Ed, how many of us will spend eternity in heaven? Or should I say, in paradise?
Let us first talk about paradise. The word paradise means a park, a garden, not any kind of garden, mind you, but originally the Garden of Eden, which is referred to in the Scriptures as the Garden of God. The Genesis account of creation informs us God planted a garden eastward in Eden as a home for Adam and Eve, our first parents.
Paradise, then, Ed, originally was the Garden of Eden. Is there that much said in the Bible about the Garden of Eden?
Well, as you know, because our first parents transgressed God's law, they were driven out of their paradise and sentenced to death. And the entire Bible is concerned, directly or indirectly, with revealing to us the glorious plan of God, whereby paradise is to be restored, and the human race, raised from the dead, given opportunity to enjoy the blessings of paradise everlastingly. Another meaning of paradise is a place of happiness. This means that ultimately, paradise conditions will prevail over the entire earth.
That will be paradise restored, according to Milton, just as Eden was paradise lost.
Correct.
And you say that the work of restoring paradise is the great theme of the Bible?
That's right. God's plan of restoration, which embodies the hope of life after death, is in the Bible solidly linked with the thought contained in the prefix re. We have in the Bible, for example, the words redeem, redemption, and re or restitution. All of these expressions denote that the plan of God is the recovery of the human race from death and that the re or restoration of the lost paradise. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's an interesting thought. Ed, you said that one of the words used to describe this hope of life after death is restitution. And I presume that that word is found in the Bible.
In the third chapter of Acts, verse 21, here the Apostle Peter speaks of the times of restitution of all things, and then he adds, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets.
That's wonderful. Certainly that which God considered so important that he caused his prophets to write about it should be worthy of our very thoughtful attention.
Yet, strange to say, this basic teaching of the Bible is almost entirely overlooked or ignored.
Or misunderstood, and that seems strange. You are sure, though, it will be the authority and power of Christ's kingdom that will accomplish the restoration of paradise, and that that will be right here on the earth.
Russell, that's right.
Very well. And I must admit that it does seem very clear from the Bible that it is God's purpose to restore the human race to life on the earth as humans, and to give all an opportunity of living in an earthly paradise forever. But, Ed, now let us talk about heaven. I have a text here in the first epistle of Peter, which describes the hope of a Christian and speaks of it as an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How do you harmonize that with what you have described as an earthly inheritance or paradise, which God has promised to the family of man?
Russell, you answered your own question when you spoke of the heavenly inheritance as being the hope of a Christian.
I'm not sure that I follow you.
Well, you see, while there's no escaping the fact that God has made provision for the human race to be restored to life on earth, there is an exception to this in the case of the footstep followers of Jesus during the present age. These, the scriptures clearly teach, are to receive a heavenly reward for their faithfulness in serving the Master under the adverse conditions of the present age of sin and selfishness. These will be associated with Christ in the spiritual phase of his kingdom, and will share with him in the future work of restoring the remainder of mankind to human perfection on the earth.
Ed, just what do you mean by a heavenly reward?
Oh, Russell, that's a difficult question to answer. To answer definitely, that is, for the reason that it is impossible for our finite minds to understand conditions in the spiritual world.
I can see why that would be, all right. But, as I see it, there must be scriptural justification for the hope entertained by so many Christians of being with Jesus in a heavenly home.
That's right. There is justification in the scriptures.
Which means, then, that there is a heavenly reward for the church and an earthly reward for the rest of the family of man. I'm beginning to see your point.
Precisely put, Russell.
Well, then, the mistake has been in concluding that the heavenly or spiritual promises of the Bible apply to all mankind, and that those who do not in this life qualify for a home in heaven will be eternally lost.
Now, that's the point exactly, Russell. God has not been inviting the whole world to share a heavenly home and reign with Jesus, but only those who in this age have been touched by his love and have responded to the invitation to take up their cross and follow Jesus into death.
However, Ed, isn't this a discrimination against the others of the human family?
Not at all. Rather, it has been a preparation for their future blessing through the administration of Christ's kingdom.
One more question, Ed. Just what occurs when a person does die?
Well, the scriptures speak of those who die as falling asleep to await the resurrection. In fact, the symbolisms of the Bible carry this thought still further by likening the present experience of suffering and death to be a nighttime of darkness and sorrow, to be followed by a morning of joy. The prophet David wrote, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning."
That's a very beautiful and a very comforting thought. Why, Ed, if we keep that thought before our minds, there is really no need to fear death at all.
Of course not, Russell. The resurrection will be like an awakening from sleep, except that the environment will be improved, and the opportunity given to obey the laws of the new kingdom then ruling the world. Those who do obey will be restored to absolute perfection of mind and body, and as humans will live forever. Now, that is what is meant by restitution.
Is such a glorious hope as that actually held out to the family of man in the Word of God?
Yes, Russell, and as we've already seen, it is the theme of the prophets of God described by the Apostle Peter as times of restitution of all things.
I see you have absolute faith that God's promises are valid, and that they are to be implemented by divine power operating through the agency of Christ's kingdom. It would surely help to give peace of mind and heart in these times of worldwide fear and distress if every Christian had the same kind of faith that you have in these assurances of restitution.
Indeed it would, Russell, and besides, in addition to peace and security as we understand these terms, God has promised to give health and lasting life when Christ's kingdom is established to those who obey its laws. You know, Russell, we would never get to the end of the subject, so you'd better tell our listeners about the little book, Hope Beyond the Grave.
A good idea, Ed. For Hope Beyond the Grave, or for short, the Hope Book, does enlarge on all the points that you have been discussing with us. And friends, Hope Beyond the Grave contains reassuring facts concerning life, death, and the hereafter. It answers such questions as, what is death? Where are the dead? What is hell and who go there and will they ever return? What is the soul? Can the living talk with the dead? And what and where is paradise? So send now for the Hope Book. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, it is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the Hope Book, and it will be sent to you free through the mail, and there is no obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.